Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Yeah.
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah.
Hump Day!
Yeah, it's a good one tonight.
It is a good one. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss.
Yeah.
And Dustin the Great.
I'm here.
He's coming in.
Coming in hot. We got a great show for you guys tonight. A very special show, of course. Four times a year, we do the show live here from Best Bet, 201 Monument Road, and it is a ton of fun. So we got our tournament, our 1010XL tournament that is kicking off right now. In fact, I think cards are in the air, or they're getting ready to be in the air as the tournament kicks off. There's 115 players already registered and seated.
Wow.
The last tournament, I think, what did we say, was 365 or 67?
367, I think.
367 was the number last.
Very big number.
When was the last tournament? February? Something like that? January, February-ish?
Ish. February.
Ish. So, super fun tournament. I mean, this is a great time. $110 price point. There are five bounties. So, some of your favorite 1010XL personalities, knock any of them out, and you get $110 back on the spot. You're free rolling the entire tournament. This is a fun
Easy
one, right?
Money.
You get all the Googans that come out, lots of people, lots of players that come and play this event, entry-level beginning players, all the way up to people who just want to have a good time, maybe even some professional players.
This is definitely the most fun of the low-limit regular tournaments that we have. We live stream a feature and final table. It gets a great crowd. Everybody's just here to have a good time. So it's definitely the most fun tournament.
And you get a lot of value. I mean, you get so much value out of this tournament. For $110 price point and to have, like, first place hover somewhere around $5,000, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, that's fantastic. Especially, it's a single-day event, right? You only have to play till about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's a long one, but it's a long single evening.
But it is a tournament, so we got that. And, you know, we have this crazy weather going on outside. So if you're on the road, the best place to be is off the road and hanging out here in the card room with us. We are
If you're on the road, get off the road
building.
And come to Best Bet Jacksonville.
Right. We're in this great big cement building, so we're nice and protected here from the weather and the elements. It's nice and cool in here, so we're all happy. No masks. So we're playing eight-handed with no masks, so we're almost back to normal. It feels normal.
Once you take off the mask, everything feels like, oh, my God, it's a relief.
It really is, and this is the first time that I've been to this location. I've been over to Orange Park, but this is the first time that I've been to the Jacksonville location since the mask mandate has been removed. And it really feels a lot different. Like, it's fun. Somebody will say, it's nice to see you. And I always, like, my first rebuttal is, like, to actually see you.
To actually know who you're talking to when they say that.
Right. You're not just assuming. There's not, like, you don't have to just try to look at the eyes and figure out who everybody is. So it's nice. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be seen, and I feel like we're all back in a welcoming state of mind. So that's good. So did you guys see World Poker Tour at the Venetian? I believe had three women make the final table.
Yeah, epic, right?
This is pretty spectacular. Now, first of all, there is only one woman in the history of WPT to hold a title. She won that title back in 2017. Emma Zimovic or something, I believe, is her last name. She was the first to win a title. She won the 2017 WPT Playground. It was a $3,500 buy-in main event. But now we have three women. So if you're not familiar with the World Poker Tour and the way that they structure their tournaments, they play down to the final six players before they break. The six-handed is the final table.
Right.
So out of those six players, there are three women. That's historical.
It's
50% of the field. So we're likely to end up with another female WPT titleist.
I do have a little bit of information. I haven't checked the updates lately, but unfortunately, Kitty was eliminated.
Oh, she was. Okay, that's unfortunate.
And
she had all the chips.
Yeah, no, not when they were at the final table. The three ladies were the bottom three in chips.
Oh, okay.
They were both in the 2-point-something million.
Yeah, she had 2.7. She had 22 big blinds to start. So in terms of blinds, she had 22 big blinds. Daniela had 18 big blinds. Kenya, who's the third female, had 21 big blinds. The chip leader came in with 142 big blinds. Look at that lead. 142 big blinds to the to 18 big blind sack. Like the next, so the disparity goes 142 big blinds for the chip leader, and the next person that's close, 146 big blinds, then 142, and then the next person in contention is 36 big blinds.
Wow.
It was a
so
big
you go
disparity.
From 142 to 36.
What are you doing that spot? You just gamble every time? You just
we've talked about this, right? You got one guy with such a big lead, and then three people on the short stack. That guy in the middle really is the one that has a lot of power, right?
No, see, I disagree. I think the short stacks have all the power.
I think they both do. I think everyone in the middle is the ones that are kind of supposed to chill because the big stack can put pressure on the middle.
Agreed.
The short stack can put pressure on the middle. You just thought the short stack doesn't want to get into it with the big stack.
If you're in the middle, I feel like you're at a huge disadvantage.
Well, the short stack gets into it with, somebody who basically has them covered pretty much no matter what. You got three people with about the same.
Yeah.
I guess if you're at the middle, you just sit there and don't do anything.
Yeah, you know, I feel like you don't have an edge.
There's nothing worse than
middle.
Being in the middle and then busting before the short stack.
Right.
Because the short stack's free-rolling, so he can gamble.
Right. They can gamble. So
but they're not going to gamble too much because of ICM.
Yeah, they want to ladder up, obviously.
Yeah, but you can't – but you're not in a position to be able to make those big calls if you're in – if you're in the middle. Like, that's the biggest problem, being in the middle. So when the short stack open rips for 16 bigs and you're sitting with 30 bigs, if you call and a board runs out, you don't have any leverage because now all of a sudden you're the short stack.
No, you can't ever – you don't ever want to call.
No, I mean –
you never want to call, but you can be the raiser. You can raise lighter than normal, but you don't ever want to call.
I just feel like you have to be careful because if you have the small stacks are going to be open shipping. So when you're opening, you can't open too light. Otherwise, you just bleed chips.
So if you're that bit heavy of a chip leader, you just come in with basically a play almost every hand mentality. Or every time every time you have an opportunity to open, do you just open?
Almost. Especially,
right?
I mean, you're playing six-handed already
If people already come in the pot and they already go all in or whatever, you reassess. But if nobody's in the pot yet, you have to raise every time.
I mean.
Effectively, right?
Yeah.
I think it depends on your formation. Who's where? What stack sizes are where?
Yeah.
You know,
if the guy in the middle is out, then you just raise every time.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they're never going to call. Just put in little raises. They're not going to call.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is pot control,
I think. They're going to stuff it if they have anything, and they're not going to play with a bad hand because they want to ladder up.
Yep. I get it.
Well, we'll have to see what's continuing to happen with the
I'll look for an update.
So MGM Resorts is selling two more Las Vegas Strip properties to Blackstone. Now, here's what I think is interesting about this. They keep dumping off properties to Blackstone. Blackstone is like leasing back the gaming rights. Is kind of what it sounds to me like. What's happening is they are purchasing the property that the casinos reside on, and then they are leasing back the casinos to MGM to run effectively.
Correct.
So we're looking at Aria is going to be sold, and Vidara condo hotels, Aria Resort and Casino, the Waldorf Astoria, and the Shops at Crystal and Veer Towers.
Which is only one casino.
Yeah, but that's a huge amount of property and space. But what I think is interesting is that MGM owns all these places and they're selling them to Blackstone in terms of property value, but continuing to run the operations. Like, Blackstone's going to literally own all of the property in Vegas.
Right.
So what does that look like, right? Like, what do you... I mean, does Blackstone have, like, what's their vision? That's what, like, what's their end game,
right? What's the end game?
What's the
end game? I don't know, but they're going
to own a bunch
Blackstone
of property, like, in
just
the
becomes
middle
Blackstone
of,
City.
In the middle of the desert, you own a bunch of property that's a gold mine because casinos sit on them, but remove the casinos and it's literally worth nothing.
Sure.
So what's the end game?
Yeah, it's interesting because the casinos aren't going to go anywhere, but what is the end game?
There's no value if there's not a casino. There's zero value.
For MGM, they obviously need money.
Right. They need cash on hand.
That's why they started dumping cash on hand because they're going to – who knows what they're planning on doing. They're planning on buying or building or something, so they need the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And it said in the article something about buying the other 50% of City Center, which is owned by Dubai or somebody. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember that when City Center was being built, MGM was borrowing all this money, you know, hundreds of millions to billions of dollars, and they ran out of money. Wow. And they basically went to, I think it was the Dubai group, and they said, hey, we need more money. And they're like, no. You can't no. have any more money.
No, we're not going to allow you to operate.
Right.
No.
And then here's the funny thing.
I remember when this happened.
The funny thing is they have to give them more money.
Otherwise, they're not going to get paid
Otherwise,
back.
They're not going to get anything back. Yeah. Yeah. So they had to give them like another $1 billion or something insane and another, you know, percentage of the place or whatever. I'm sure they've done well now.
Sure.
And now they're going to get bought out for their other 50%, so they're probably out of it.
And what a gamble, though.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same thing's going to happen with the property now, I feel like. The same thing's going to happen.
But what happens in, like Bellagio was a 10-year lease.
Right.
I don't know what this one was. It was a 10-year lease. So MGM owns the casino. They have a 10-year. What happens in 10 years? Blackstone can say rent's up.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, what's their end game, right? Like, if they're buying up all this property with, like, now turning it into, like, leasing property, like, I picture it like shopping malls, right? Do they just start jacking up the price of rent?
Yeah.
Or do they eventually start going, you know, actually, we're going to, like, move you out and move in, like, the circus or something like
that? Right.
Who would go? Who would go if they take out the casinos?
It's so bizarre.
Who would be there to visit?
Who
would be there to go to the circus and the super malls?
Yeah, I just feel like it's an interesting dynamic to own the property of a casino that literally has zero value unless there's a casino there.
Right.
But,
I mean, you're just, I guess.
It is in the, you know, town of casinos.
Uh-huh.
So there will presumably always be a casino there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But you're right. If there's not a casino. But, I mean, Videra, they bought Videra also. That's just property.
Videra, yeah. Uh-huh. Is there anything there now? I don't even remember.
Condos and it's just condos. Hey, well, it's a hotel.
Yeah, it's a big
condo
hotel.
And hotel.
It was fancy hotel. It was a hotel.
There's no casino there, right?
No.
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 It was built to be sold as condos, but they changed their mind and they couldn't sell the condos, so they run it as a hotel, which
That's
means
right.
the rooms are really cool. Same as the Cosmopolitan. It was built to be condos, not a hotel. That's why the rooms are very unique to hotel rooms.
It's kind of funny because if you've ever stayed at the Cosmo, you kind of think, this would have been a really cool place to live.
Yeah.
That's what I think. When we stay there, and I'm like, I totally would have loved living here.
This is a really nice hotel.
Yeah. This is a great hotel.
I could literally live here.
I could totally live here. I can walk directly downstairs and go across the street and be at Aria in the poker room inside of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I got like 50 restaurants literally within a 3-minute walk. I mean,
yeah. I would love to live at the Cosmopolitan. You have a balcony overlooking the Bellagio fountains?
Well, at the speed that you play video poker, they might offer that to you.
I'm going to give them a call, yeah. Maybe I can get a little long-term deal.
I like it. We're going to be sweating that. Speaking of sweat, you guys, we got to take a quick break. But so I came in early, played some cash. We got some stuff to talk about there, of course. We'll talk about tournament plays. We got the 1010 XL tournament that's kicked off. But also, I got to tell you about my sweat. But you're going to have to sweat it through the break. So.
Sweat it through the
We're
break.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got more poker to talk. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. I know the boss man looked for the WPT update while we were on break. Remember, that's the first time we've had three women or 50% of the field be females at a WPT final table. There's only been one WPT female champion in the history of the World Poker Tour, and we are on, what, season 20?
I don't know.
18?
Long
20,
time.
20?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a long time. Yeah. So there's only one female winner. So what's our update?
So, all right. So here's our WPT update. This is from the Venetian in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are now down to three.
Give me two ladies.
I cannot do that.
Can you give me one? Can you give me one? Yes.
So, okay. As we know, Kitty Koo eliminated in sixth place. Great job. Danielle Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
In fifth place. Great job there, two ladies. Then Tim McDermott. Sorry, Tim. One lady left. Kenna England.
Are we three Kenna players England? Or two players?
There's three players left. There's Mike Lang with the chip lead. Mike Liang, 24,800,000. Chad Sorry, I can't see this.
Does it give you the number of big blinds that they have? I always feel like it's easier to understand because we don't know what the 15, blind structure is right now.
Well, they're playing 200,000, okay. So he's got 120 bigs.
Okay.
24 million. He's got 120 bigs. Kenna with almost 7 million has 35 bigs. And Chad in the middle with 16 million.
Something's not right.
I think it's 14 bigs.
I was like, I feel like that calculation was wrong somewhere.
14 bigs. Yeah, okay. 14 bigs. Sorry. Math. Got me.
Got him.
This is why you're in a suit.
Yes, why wear the suit and have people?
Yeah, I wear a suit and I have people.
I pay people to do math for me.
I pay people to do my math.
But, you know, she's got about she's about 2-1 under the second place guy.
Yeah.
And about 4-1 under the first place guy, which isn't that.
That's not that big.
That's not overcomable.
That's not terrible. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely overcome.
Definitely overcome.
We saw it happen right over here twice. We saw Ben Scroggins come back. He walked in the table 4-1,
lost the lead,
was a 4-1 dog.
And then came back.
And then came back and won the whole thing.
Came back and won the whole tournament. Mm-hmm. Well, we are definitely cheering for another female. Kenna, we're all down here in Jacksonville.
I kind of feel sorry for the guys. There's nobody roots for the guys. When there's a woman at the table, everybody's rooting for her to win.
I mean, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Do you really feel bad for the guys? Let's be honest.
No.
No, I don't. Yeah, I feel like you don't. I was like, that's a lie.
Just kidding. Sorry. Sorry, fellas.
I'm pulling for the girls today.
Sorry, fellas.
Pulling for the ladies.
Yeah.
So I get to come in early, play some cash, because as you know, we're here for the 1010XL main event. The tournament has kicked off, by the way. Cards are in the air. We're in the first level. We got 10 minutes left of the first level. 155 players registered so far. You have until about 8:15 roughly till registration closes.
Yeah, 8:10.
So you got plenty of time to get here if you're hanging out at home and you're like, man, I had a lot of plans, but everything closed because of this tropical storm. Guess what? You're nice and safe in this great big cement building. So no tornado is going to get you here. You can come and hang out and have some entertainment value with us and hopefully pick up like $5,000 for first place, roughly.
Yeah, come on.
I think it'll be about that again. So, yeah, we're here again. Registration is open until 8:15. $110 to get into the tournament. 5 bounties, knock any of them out, and you get $110 back on the spot. So as I come in waiting for this, right, I came in early to play some cash. I sit down, and in the last 40 minutes of my session, it goes, guy opens, under the gun, he opens, folds around to me, I think I'm on the button, I 3-bet, folds to him, he snap, shoves, I snap, call with aces.
Oh, snap, call with aces.
Yeah, he has
easy
like,
game, folks.
Yeah, easy game. He's like, he chips it, I call, right, flop comes, queen, something. And I immediately just go, oh, it's just going to be bad. It just starts out like this.
Right, anytime the board pairs to the picture card.
Yeah,
like
I'm just like, this is going to be a disaster.
Sure.
Turn card comes and the guy like flat, he shows like king, queen or something. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I turn over my hand, I just rip it open, ace on the river, pink. I'm like, nice. So I make aces full of queens. So not only do I suck out on the guy, but I also am now in contention for a $500 high hand for the sweat.
With how much time left?
Full of queens. We got about 40 minutes. So now we're sweating. I have to cash out of the game because I got to come host the show, right? So I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, you guys, this is going to be the worst sweat ever. I'm not even in the game. I don't even get to sweat it from there. And all of a sudden, I look up with about 6 minutes left. Bam, high hand beat. Somebody made quad tens, and I think it held up.
Aces full of queens is a pretty strong one, but this busy, it's definitely
tough.
A sweat.
It's tough.
It's a sweat.
It is a sweat.
There's a lot of tables.
So here's my question to you guys. So you get a high hand, and somebody at the table says, hey, I'll buy that high hand from you. I'll give you $100 right now. Or whatever it is, right? Whatever they want to offer you, what's the counter? And is there a dollar amount, a specific hand, and a time? And what does that formula look like each of you? Because I'm like, I'm not going to sell it. I'm just going to gamble. If I want it, I want it. Like, whatever.
You know, we could go through and look at the paperwork of every high hand and find the median high hand.
Sure.
And then say, okay, we're below that, so sell it for less than half. We're above that, sell it for more than half. Or you just guess and say, whatever.
I mean, there's no real formula, realistically speaking. Like, you can't – it's not possible. Because you would have
because
all the variables would
games,
have to be the same, right? You would have to have the same number of games,
right.
The same exact dealers dealing the exact same speed. Like, everything would have to be the same. Because if you change any of those, then everything – the whole equation is ruined.
Yeah, the likelihood of one – of thing A happening –
Correct.
Changes.
If you change one small
change
variable, right? Yeah.
So you just got to decide. You know, is this high hand likely to hold up?
So, do you ever sell?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
this is like, do we consider this like hedging, kind of like a little bit?
Ace is full with 15 minutes to go. This busy room is. Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, that's a tough one.
It's probably 50-50, so you're probably not getting or giving the bad deal at half price.
It's kind of funny because, like, where's the line, right? And you think about aces full. So you had aces full, and it's aces full of queens.
Right.
So the next thing is aces full of kings.
And then quads.
And then it's quads. So, like, do you – at quads, do you feel comfortable enough at quads? Because, really, like, quad deuces is almost the same thing as aces full of queens.
Yeah.
It's, like, effectively
It's effectively really close. But I would think – I would think any quads above – like fours, I'd probably never sell.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Dustin, what do you think?
It depends on if I'm stuck or not.
Does it really? Yeah. Is that what you're basing it on?
Yeah, 100%. If I'm not stuck, I'll just sell it and lock up the money. But if I'm stuck, we're going to gamble. We're going to try to get the whole.
Yeah.
That's,
wow,
you know what's
that.
Funny
that's
is like
point.
Like
yeah.
I – so, like, I wasn't stuck in the game. I won a little bit. I mean, I didn't play, play for a short amount of time, short session. But I was like, I was like, I'll gamble.
If I'm up a couple hundred and I get on the board and some guy wants to offer me $300 for it, sure, why not? But if I'm stuck like 450 and that high hand is for 500, we're going to ride it out.
Yeah.
See, that's funny because I'm on the opposite side of that. If I'm I would sell it.
You want to get some of it
back?
Yeah,
because I
don't want to get some of it back. I want to get all of it back.
I know,
but if
you lock up a piece of it, I feel like then you can fire for the – it's so funny. Nah. It's interesting.
Go big or go home.
Gamble if I'm stuck. But, you know, if it's $500 high hand and somebody offers you $100, I'm probably just going to say no.
Yeah. Dustin, what's your amount? What do you take?
If it's a $500 high hand,
yeah.
If I'm up.
Well, yeah,
either
say
way,
whatever.
Yeah, like,
you're even.
What are you going to settle on?
If I'm even?
Your
hand,
with
aces full of queens with 15 minutes left, I'd probably be in the 325 to 350 range.
Yeah, so for 100, you're going to say, I'll gamble.
But I would hustle. Like, I would haggle.
You would?
Yeah, I would get my 325, my 350.
It's funny because I was sort of like, I was like, no, just take the 500 or airball, I guess.
Yeah,
it's probably the wrong way to think about it, realistically. But
well,
I'm never in that.
Okay,
as it turns out, like, I don't ever hit the high hand. So, like, to be fair, I'm never in a position that I ever have to think about this. So.
I hit one once, and I was stuck about $1,000 down south.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to go in there and hit a high hand to get even.
I remember this.
And I went in that half-hour time period, I flopped quad aces.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Obviously, check it down.
Check.
I can't check fast enough.
Yeah. Check.
You want to fold? No, I'm just to check.
I got a little bit of action on the end, won a very small pot, turn over my aces. It gets on the board, and I had like, I think about the same, about a 10-minute sweat. But the room was packed.
Yeah, you're like, there's no way.
Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I got a sweat. And it held up.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I got even.
It is a good sweat.
That's great.
So
it's
we
like
got
a premonition.
Yeah. So speaking of high hands, so we got the 10-10 XL tournament going on. We also have high hands that are happening right now. What's the high hand, 500? Is it still 500 now?
No, it starts back at 8 p.m.
Okay, so it starts back up at 8 p.m. Plus, you guys have the 12 days of Christmas that's coming in. So if you are unfamiliar with the way that high hands work here, anybody that's playing in – sometimes it's both rooms combined – but right now, the high hand is just pertaining to Jacksonville, or if you're in Orange Park, there'll be high hands over there. But it just means that whoever gets the best hand, the dealers keep track. They put it up on a nice little clock so you can watch. You win whatever that amount of money is at the end of that allocated amount of time. So the 12 days of Christmas, Christmas in July, that promotion is coming up here starting next week. Yeah, Monday?
The 12th.
Starts Monday, I believe.
12th,
Monday's
yeah.
the 12th, yeah.
The 12th, yep.
So it looks like, $1,200 starting on the 12th, increasing by $100 for every single day for 12 straight days.
Yep.
So if you're looking for something to do, try to stay out of the rain, stay out of the heat, Mark it on your calendar because next Monday starts Christmas in July with $1,200 high hands every hour, and that's between both Jacksonville and Orange Park. So regardless of which location you're playing at, you are eligible, correct?
Incorrect.
Both locations?
Only Jacksonville.
Only Jacksonville. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's
12 days of Christmas is only Jacksonville.
Okay, great. So you have
to
be in Jacksonville.
Twitch.
In Jacksonville for the 12 days of Christmas. But looking forward. Okay, we have some hands to talk about. We also have some tournament strategy to discuss, but we're going to do that when we come back. We're going to give Dustin a minute to plug in his computer so he can zone in on this crazy cash hand I'm going to give him.
I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, more poker talk when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. Lots of stuff going on. We are live here at Best Bet Jacksonville, 201 Monument Road. We are hunkered down waiting out this tornado warning. We got the tournament cards are in the air. We are in level number two, 179 players registered so far. Registration is open through about 8:15-ish p.m. Yep. $110 to get you into this tournament. Five bounties. Knock any of them out, and you get $110 back on the spot. This
Easy
has been
money.
A great a tournament. Yeah, it's a great – I mean, this has been a good tournament. We had 360-something players at the last event, so we're expecting a nice big turnout. It's already on the uptick. And, yeah, so we'll look to see what first place is going to be. Let's get finished with the show. Juicy, juicy. So I came in and I played cash. Now I got to transition to playing tournament, which is a little weird. Right? Yep. You kind of got to shift.
Yeah, you got to just shift a little bit.
Shift a little bit. That's kind of hard, though. Dustin, what do you do? Like, what do you do to get prepared to shift your game? Because it's a totally different game.
Stop calling off so much. Because in cash, you can just call off and be wrong. It doesn't matter. That's what you have a bankroll for. You can just call off, you know, you're like, oh, this doesn't really make sense. Not supposed to have this hand. Pay, and then he has the hand.
Yeah,
in tournaments,
like,
you can't
whatever.
Do that because, you know, there's a finite, you know, your stack has longevity. Longevity has value is what I'm trying to say.
So you just, you don't call as much.
Yeah, I play like a nit.
Tighten it up. Lock it down.
At least like in certain levels, you know, in the certain spots in the tournament. Like when you have a ton of chips, there's no reason to go broke with pocket nines, pre-flop with 250 big blinds. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you have 11 big blinds, it's fine. But, you know, you find yourself with 300 bigs, and I see it all the time. I see people just getting it in with two tens pre-flop.
You're like, how did you get so many chips in the pot?
We're on level two. Yeah. Blinds are 100, 200. You started with 50K.
You had 300 bigs, and you shipped it in the first two hands.
Yeah, or I'll just be walking by, and I'll see a guy with, like, you know, like 300,000 in level three, and I'm like, what happened here?
Right, right. How did that happen?
Yeah, how did this happen?
Who were the guys that gave you all those chips? But, you know, that's something that's important to consider in the early levels of the tournament, too, right? There's so much money that people do that because they know they can rebuy.
We talked about this 2 years ago. Remember the guy that lost with aces on the first hand of the main event to kings?
Yes.
The guy flopped a king?
Yeah. Like, what's the threshold? Do you fold? Do you call? Like, what happens? That's the worst.
I mean, you never fold, but still.
No, of course not. Know? But that's like, you don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You're like, man, the first hand of the main event.
And that's what, you know, some people say if it's, you know, it's on you. One guy goes all in the very first hand of the World Series of Poker, and you got two aces. What do you do? I mean, obviously you call, but
you hate it mostly. You mostly
don't
want to
call,
like,
because I want to play. I want to make sure I play at least for day one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you know, best case scenario, somebody went all in. They have to have something.
Sure.
Right. And, you know, if they have kings, it's not like you're a big favorite. Whatever, 4.5 to 1. Is that big a favorite? No. Is it? I mean, you're obviously supposed to call. It's definitely big a favorite to call. I'm never saying you should ever fold in that spot.
Right.
But the mentality is, I don't want to go broke the first hand of the World Series of Poker.
First hand of the World Series? Single entry?
Yes.
Single entry. I mean, I will say this. I bet it happens frequently where somebody does get dealt a hand like pocket ace is their first hand, and rather than try to play a pot, they just stuff it all in. because they're terrified to lose the first hand.
Well, that's kind of how that hand went. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like egregious where it was like race to 200, race to 500, race to like 6K, race to like 25K,
right?
And then they just got it all in.
Yeah.
But it was the guy that had the kings that was like really – that was like four-betting, like driving all the action.
I think he might have had that strategy, maybe slow down.
Let me just make this giant raise and get this other guy out of the pot. The other guy just happened to have aces. Right.
And then a king comes.
Yeah, and then you get saved right on the flop. Wow. And you get blessed right there.
I feel like you should have had to wait till the river like I did.
Ooh.
It's always better.
Come out ahead, flop way behind.
You already have your chips in the rack.
River the win. Yep. Yeah. I like it. No, so, all right, so we're going to come in. We're going to play tight. I don't like it. I'm going to play aggressive. I'm going to get in there and fire it up.
You know, we've talked about all the different tournament strategies, and generally you want to come in, you want to play a little bit slow, but you don't want to not take opportunity because you are playing deep.
Right.
But you don't want to get over-involved in marginal hands because there's no need to. And you want to wait until the blinds and annies are higher in relation to the stack size to get more aggressive. That way, that's when the chips have more value. And if you use those first couple of levels to establish an image, maybe you want that image to be loose and wild. Maybe you want it to be super tight, like a knit. You know, you just knit it up and play so tight the first three levels that once – you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth level, when the blinds and annies are up there, you open it up. Everybody thinks you still have aces every hand, but now you can pick up all the little pots, and those little pots really add up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or you come in and just play wild and hope to get some chips early. And
I did that earlier when I was playing cash.
I stole
a nice big pot with like 8 high. I had like 8-3 or something ridiculous.
That's fun.
I was like 8-3 off, and I made some weird raise in a weird spot, and then we ended up amassing this pretty big pot, and it was like a flop that looked like it would hit my range. So it was like ace, king, something, like whatever. And I just like bricked it. The guy calls the flop, and then I check raised him on the turn, and he had to give it up.
I was
like, ooh, I'm going to get crazy here. Check. He's like, all right, fire. I'm like, yeah, we're going to raise the pot. He was like, ah.
Nice.
I got there. It's okay. And I was like, he shows like an ace. He's like, here you go. I was like, good fold. Good fold. Totally got there.
You know, the good thing about coming in loose and wild and having a good time is if it works and you get a bunch of chips, you can kind of keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fun to play that way. It may not be the most optimal strategy.
There's
but it
a
is
lot
fun.
Of fun.
And you
it's
can
fun
just,
to play every pot.
You can just keep the hammer on it.
That's what I do in cash.
And just keep, you know, keep firing away and playing loose and wild and try to just a massive stack.
Yeah. So actually when Fausto was here, he was here to play the 2500, the card player, and he's a cash player predominantly. Right. Him and I talked a lot about tournament strategy, and he had one of the best analogies that I've ever heard. He said that in the first couple levels in the beginning of the tournament, you need to be like a lion in the cage.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you're a lion, you're wild, whatever, but you know, you don't want to get too out of control because you're super deep.
Right.
But if somebody comes near your cage, you bite their hand off.
Oh, that's a fun analogy. I like that.
Yeah. And then he said when you get into the middle stages, like you said, you know, when you get in the 30, 40 big blind range, that's when you really open up your game and that's when you're in accumulation mode.
Right.
And you want to get the chips because you need to – you're supposed to go bust a lot in the middle of the tournaments. That's when you're supposed to take all your risk is in the middle because you have to accumulate chips to survive the ladder, right?
You do.
Because then when you get to the final table, it becomes counterintuitive because of ICM. So now it's about – so it goes preservation, accumulation, back to preservation. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah, but where does the pounce come in if we're a lion in a cage?
In the middle.
Yeah,
in the accumulation phase when we get down to like 30, 40 big blinds, 30 to 40 bigs. That's when you want to
So you're playing
really
more
aggressive.
Offensively in the middle and more defensively in the front end.
Correct.
Yep.
Now, I will say that, you know, a lot of these tournaments, like these daily tournaments and smaller tournaments like the 1010XL, that you're, you know, the average chip stack's going to be below that.
Yeah, of course.
And there is something to be said for, you know, you want to keep your chip stacks, you want to, you know, average doesn't really matter. And if you get low, when the average is 25, 30 bigs, if you get down to, you know, 10, 9, 8 bigs, you're not far from having a decent stack.
Of course, yeah.
You just have to be patient and wait and take your, you know, take your shots on the button and then a small blind if everybody folds, or get a big hand, double up, and then continue to press, and then you get back up into your mid-game stage.
That that summer that Justin Bonomo had, that huge summer in Las Vegas, like 2017 maybe or 2016, when Justin Bonomo just won everything. He won
like
30 million in the summer or something.
17 or 18.
If you look at his tournament results from that time, he was busting a ton in the middle, or he had all the chips and he won the tournament. There was no in between. He was never busting early.
Right.
He was busting a lot in the middle, where you're supposed to be taking all the risk. But when he got, when he survived that middle phase and got all the chips, he won the tournament every single time.
Right. There's a lot to be said for that strategy.
Yeah, and it's very polarized. It's one or the other. It wasn't like he got to the final table and got ninth. He got all the chips, or he went broke. And when he got all the chips, he won the tournament every time.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
That's how Darren Elias is also. Yeah. When he final tabled back-to-back WPT events, when he was like, I think he was like, I don't know, Bahamas, wherever he was, and then he flew directly here to play this event. Remember,
because he won two back to back.
That's right. He won two back to back, and then he flew here immediately so that he could try the final table three. And was that the year he did? No, I think he busted early that year.
He final tabled Pilot Paul's year.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He also final tabled when Sean Kunick's won.
Mm-hmm. What an animal.
But he's the same exact kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like exactly that, what you're talking about. He goes bust in the middle, or he's got all the chips and wins the tournament.
That's how it's supposed to
or
work.
Or like super deep runs, right?
So, yeah.
All right, well, speaking of which, we have some tournament poker to play, so we're probably going to take a break here. We got 198 players registered so far. We have 7 minutes left in level number, what are we on, level two?
This is level two.
Level two, yep. So there's a break after level six. Registration is open through level six.
Correct.
So we are on 20-minute levels. You'll come in with a full chip stack. Chip stacks start at?
10K, I think. 6K. 6K.
No. Come on. They're not, you're not giving them 6K. You better give me more. I need more than 6K. I can't win a tournament if you give me 6K.
I'm going to go in the middle and say 12, but I'm going to look it up right now.
I'm pretty sure it's 12. I feel like Dustin needs to look at this because here's the other thing about a tournament. I should know the answer to this if I plan to sit down and play.
Truth. You should always know the structure.
You should always know the structure. So Dustin's going to walk me through the structure.
12K. 12K.
12K.
That's perfect.
What do I know?
So you come in with 12K.
I have people, remember?
You come in with a fresh starting stack. Dustin happens to be one of them.
That's right.
And again, registration is open until about 8:15. Great tournament here. $110 price point, so it's a great price point. No better place to be right now
than to wait out the storm.
It's
not raining.
It's not raining
inside.
In the poker room. Right. It's nice and controlled.
Fortunately.
It's very safe.
At least not now.
We're safe. Yeah, we're safe from the tornado here, and we're all having a good time. So come and join us. 201 Monument Road. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, we are back. This is the Best Bet Poker Show, and we've lost Allie McDeal. She is somewhere in the trenches, going to be her lioness in the cage.
That's right.
And play some tournament poker. 211 players so far, lots of time to get in. Definitely going to be a big field, weather or no weather. Poker players don't care. They know what they're doing. Come here. Be safe and play some poker. So a little sad news. Unfortunately, if you haven't already heard, in the WPT event in Las Vegas, the last female player has been eliminated in third place. Very good job, ladies. Good run. The two other players, heads up, fairly even with 126 bigs to 114 bigs.
Wow.
That is a huge average. Generally speaking, in these tournaments, you'd float around 60 to 80 bigs deep when you get the heads up, and float on down to maybe even all the way down to 40, depending. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
This is always the byproduct of a great structure, when you can get the heads up and it's not just a shove fest.
It's amazing. Yeah. Except I think we just got a little update from somebody on Twitter. It's 229 bigs to 11 bigs right now.
Oh, game over.
They must have decided to let's just fire this in. Anyway, we got a lot of great things coming here at Best Bet Jacksonville, Orange Park.
We got a GoPro coming up in OP.
We do. The 24th. It's on a Saturday. The Greater Orange Park Open. We're going to run some satellites July 20th. There's a 2 p.m. $80 satellite into the GoPro. And then, again, the day before on the 23rd, $80 satellite.
And how much is the GoPro this time? $300 or $400?
It's $400 this time.
$400.
I think that's the perfect price point.
I think it's a great price point at Orange Park. It's a one-day tournament.
Yep. Starts at noon.
Starts at noon. That's a lot of fun. So we got a lot of other things coming up. We got a World Poker Tour series coming up of our own in August. And leading up to that are satellites. Also in that is a high roller tournament. The day before the main event, it's a 25K high roller event. And we have some satellites early into that high roller event starting this month.
Starting this week. On the 10th, July 10th, we're going to have a $500 25K high roller satellite with $100 rebuys.
Very nice. Now, I'll tell you what, if you want to satellite into a tournament and get lots of value, if you can find a way to satellite in for a few hundred into this tournament, the min cash is going to be about $75,000. So,
wow.
And you get to play with a great field. It's going to be
world
a lot
class.
Of fun. I would not miss a satellite for the high roller myself. So look for that. Also, we do not have this in print anywhere. We don't have it on the schedule yet, but we are going to do a satellite for the World Series of Poker main event.
Hot take.
Hot take. We will run that sometime in September, probably similar to as in the past where we give away 5 or 10 seats, maybe one or two satellites with guarantees. So look for that coming soon, and that's definitely exciting.
So what do you think the package will entail this year?
The package will entail you'll win a $10,000 seat into the World Series of Poker main event, which takes place November 4th through 17th for some lucky people, and $3,000 in travel expenses.
So it would look like you get a seat, you get a package, you get the ticket voucher.
Right.
And then Best Bet just gives you $3,000 and you book your own accommodations.
That is correct.
That's incredible.
That is correct.
And so is the voucher transferable? If somebody were to win the 10K seat, is it transferable?
This one is transferable, yes.
What a deal.
And, you know, most satellites, like when we do satellites here for our events, they are non-transferable.
Right.
This is kind of a specialty thing, and it's a little bit different. And in all honesty, it doesn't matter to us who goes. We just want people to want to go and represent Best Bet.
Absolutely.
And have a good time. And in the past, you know, we've had parties. Parties at the Hangover Suite in Caesar's Palace for everybody. We did a party at the Center Bar at the Orleans. So it's definitely a good time and a lot of fun. Look for that coming down the airwaves soon. Also, lots of high hands at both places. Follow us at bestbetjacks.com for all the info. Daily high hands, Orange Park, and Best Bet Jacksonville all the time. Look for the 12 Days of Christmas coming up. As we said, here that'll be at Best Bet Jacksonville only. Starts on the 12th through the 23rd, $1,200 a day, $1,300 the next, $1,300 an hour the next day, $1,400, $1,500, and so on. So we're up to, as we sit here, we're up to 225 players now in the 10-10XL tournament. Come and get it, man. Come and get it. There's no line. Everything's going really smooth, and it looks good.
It's going to be a high-value one, I think. This one, these things usually run pretty late, but we've been getting like 4 and 5K for first place in these things every time.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's
for a $100 buy-in. Take home $5,500.
It's a great tournament. If you're watching us on the stream now on any of the platforms, look for us. This tournament, we will be featuring live streaming a feature and final table starting at about 8:15. So come on down, play some poker. And that's going to do it for us here on the Best Bet Poker Show. For myself, the boss, Dustin Shacklock, Allie McDeal, can't see her anywhere. We'll hope to see you at the final table of the 10-10XL main event.
We out. Love game, intuition, play.